prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Truth revolution. I'm Dave, and that's Jeff.
He's pointing at me in case you don't know. I'm Jeff. I'm Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Glad you're listening today. I want to invite you out to Revolution Church.
Mm-hmm. 1111 West South.
That's right. If you're in Salina, it's across from Ace Hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, we have services at 9 o'clock and 11:15 Sunday mornings.
Yep.
So you can come to either one of those.
You can come actually anytime you want to. If there's somebody here, well, you know.
If there's somebody here, just come on over.
Right.
Whatever.
We love people.
Sometimes we work late. Anyway, no, come over here Sunday morning. You're listening to this radio show Sunday morning, unless you're listening live or online at truthrevolution.tv. And on there we have Truth Shots, which are 60 seconds of truth Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We also have our whole shows there.
Right, and that's 30 minutes of truth.
Do we have like all 2.5, 3 years of shows on there?
Not quite.
It's like 2 years worth?
Yeah.
The last two years?
Yeah, we missed like maybe the first 6 months.
Something like that.
Okay. Well, we have some interspersed within the first 6 months, but not all of them.
We put the really bad ones on so you can laugh from the beginning. Anyway, so you feel free to go to truthrevolution.tv. Also, you can ask questions there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we love questions. We get questions all the time, and we love to answer questions because, man, that's the way Christians can help each other out,
mm-hmm.
you know, or how we can help somebody actually find faith.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because if you got a question, ask it. We'll try and answer it, man.
We'll try to answer it.
Yeah.
I mean, it just gives us an opportunity to explore something else. I love dialoguing with people and getting to know what people are thinking. And sometimes questions make me view things differently. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a question will come from such a... I was talking to someone today. I had a question for them about something they're teaching. And I said, hey, can I ask you some questions about this? And it was just so different from what I'd ever thought about before that it took me, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around what I talked about with this lady. So, and you know, questions are a really good thing. Anyway, today's show is not about questions, although you can send your questions.
Right, and we do have a couple of questions.
Questions at truthrevolution.tv. You can email or text message questions at truthrevolution.tv, or you can go to the website and submit it there. Now, our show today is about the Christocentric hermeneutic.
The what?
The Christocentric hermeneutic! We love it!
You know, you got that crowd that acts like they're all happy about it, but I don't even understand what you're saying. What's a hermeneutic?
Hermeneutic
is that someone that lives in a tree out in the middle of the forest?
No, a hermeneutic is a way you read the Bible, basically.
Okay.
Okay, it's how you understand scripture to be read, how you're supposed to read the Bible.
Oh, how you digest it, basically.
Yeah, we use a cracked acronym on our radio show.
Is that hermeneutic?
That is a hermeneutic principle or exercise.
Okay, hermeneutic?
Hermeneutic.
Okay, I'll say it right next time, I promise.
Yes, and so the cracked acronym is really just a way to go about hermeneutics. Now, we also believe that Jesus Christ, thus the Christocentric, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the center of our hermeneutic. He's the centerpiece on how we interpret Scripture. And here's the deal. If we don't get this right, we're going to have some really, we could have some really poor interpretations of Scripture. Now, not all Christians agree with me on this, but I think it's a really big deal.
Now, are you talking about the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, is Christocentric?
Yes, from Genesis to Revelation and everything in between.
Okay,
so
I believe that.
We're going to get there, and we're going to talk about why some people don't believe that. We also have a listener question today about being baptized. This mm-hmm. person's been baptized 100 times.
100 times.
100 times.
Maybe the 101st one will be the one.
Oh, they all worked according to this person's religion.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's we'll get into it later. Yeah. And we got a Bible contradiction.
Yes, we do. You know what? Shame on us.
What?
A couple of weeks ago, we missed a Bible contradiction.
Shame on us!
And I have heard about it since.
You have?
I have.
I can't believe we missed one.
I actually opened my door the other morning, and there was a crowd with pitchforks and sticks with flames on. What are the torches?
Yes, blow torches. No. If there's anything we need more of is blow torches, people at our houses harassing us. All right, so, you know what? Maybe we should try to do 2 Bible contradictions today.
No, I don't think we ought to overdo it, unless you got it.
You know, someone just emailed me like 30 seconds ago and said, hey,
Bible contradiction.
They said, hey.
I guess you're taking the show over, Jeff.
Judas, it says in one book of the Bible that he hanged himself.
Uh-huh.
Then it says in another book of the Bible that he took his coins, he went to a field, he fell down, and his guts
got split forth.
Yes.
Spilled forth.
Exactly. And they said, well, which one is it?
Okay.
So that's a Bible contradiction and a listener question all at the same time.
Question. Wow.
Wow.
You're blowing my mind, dude.
Yes. Anyway, so, but really the answer to this really briefly and really quickly is that, and this is disgusting. Are you ready? It's just disgusting.
Right. Well, you know, cinema these days has prepared us for this moment.
Okay. So
ahead.
If you hang yourself and no one takes care of your body,
mm-hmm.
it's very, very possible and likely
that you're,
that you may fall after a long time.
Right. Headlong.
Headlong and burst open.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a complete possibility. So it's not that these things are irreconcilable. They totally reconcile with each other. And that's the answer for that Bible contradiction.
And the
listener question at the same time.
Bible contradiction.
Okay, no, I was trying to
be having too much fun with it.
Okay, so anyway, back to our that was totally. We're never doing anything off the cuff like that again.
And we're never getting that those time back.
Yeah, we just wasted back. 3 minutes. Yeah. All right,
way
so the Christocentric view of Scripture. It goes something like this. A few years ago, I was in the video room of our church, and a guy named Mike, who was working on some video with me, he came over. He said, "Hey, can I ask you a question?"
He's got a question,
and. He was one of the newer Christians in our congregation. He was a former Catholic, and he says, this church puts a lot of focus on Jesus, and I'm used to hearing more about Mary or others.
Oh, yeah.
He said, but we seem to focus on Jesus all the time. Why is that? And without knowing it, Mike stumbled across really the second core conviction of Anabaptists and a big thing for our church. And that is, not only do we focus on the Word of God and on mercy and love, but we focus on Jesus, period.
Right.
He is God incarnate. And not only do we focus on Jesus often and base our life's actions on his teachings, we strive to understand all of God's revelation, that's all of Scripture, mm-hmm. by the means of examining Christ's life. The Bible has to be interpreted in the light of the teachings and example of Jesus.
I agree. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. So, you know, growing up, my natural inclination was towards the Bible's epistles, which are like, you know, 1 John, 2 John, 1 Peter, the letters that were written. I mean, those are like doctrinal things.
Right.
They're written. They're deep theology. I thought that they were the deeper truths of Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, a lot of what is taught in churches. You know, we focus on Romans. We focus on 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And what I find really interesting is, and I love these places, but particularly a lot of churches who focus on expositional preaching, they will spend years in Romans and Corinthians and things like that, but they skim over more quickly the Gospels and Jesus.
Hmm.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. You know, as a congregation person that's never really been a preacher or anything like that, I've never really noticed that.
Well, you go to my church.
Oh.
We don't do that.
No. Problem solved.
But
come to our church.
No. But, you know, growing up, my natural inclination was to focus on those.
Right.
They are great, complex topics. There's a great debate about their meanings.
Let's be honest. I mean, the epistles are great introductions into Christianity and how we should live as Christians.
Well, and not only introductions, but explanations mm-hmm. of who Jesus is, you know, and I mean, they are deep. The Apostle Paul, actually, this is one of my favorite quotes of all time. The Apostle Peter is talking about the Apostle Paul's writings in the Scriptures.
Yeah.
And he says, his letters contain some things that are hard to understand.
Right.
You can just picture Peter, the fisherman, talking about Paul, the theologian.
Right.
He's like, I know I'm the leader of the church, but Paul's really hard to understand, guys. You know,
they came from two totally different backgrounds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think Peter got it. He was just saying that some people twist what Paul's teaching, you know. But here's what I was missing when I wanted that, when I didn't like the Christocentric view. I was missing, first, I didn't understand that orthopraxy.
What?
Orthopraxy.
Okay, I'll let
which
you
is,
continue on. You'll explain it here in a minute.
It's right living.
Okay.
It's walking the way Jesus walked.
Mm-hmm.
is just as important, sometimes even more crucial than orthodoxy, which is believing the right thing. You got orthodoxy, right. You got orthopraxy. Like doxy is like doctrine, your beliefs.
Right. Would you say that intent is a big part of it? A big part of the way we, you know, the way we believe, the way we live. I mean, we are judged by intent. Yes.
Yes, but I don't want to live in a tent. We at least in part, we are definitely judged by intent. But the question is, are your intentions to live the way Jesus right. lived?
Mm.
Yeah, we are talking. You have a friend who just told you, even though they're a Christian, they could murder somebody.
Yeah, I could murder somebody and go to heaven because I'm a believer.
Yeah, can I do that again? The buzzer again? I mean, nah. That's just you can't. I mean, that's not
going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen. I mean, you can't say I'm a Christian. I can murder somebody. The orthopraxy, the way we live, is just as important. The Apostle Paul, he himself was speaking to the Thessalonians, and he wrote some stuff. He said, hey, you know what instructions we gave you, but then he continues on to teach how to live the right way the right. rest of the book. He almost insinuates like, hey, I've given you some teaching, and you know about that, but here's what's really important, how you live. Like, boom, that's right. huge. And how are you supposed to live? As Jesus lived.
Right.
In Philippians 2.
A lot of what Jesus talked about is how we should live.
Exactly. That was like one of Jesus' big things. You could almost walk away from the gospel. I don't think you can, but you could almost walk away from reading the gospels and think, mm-hmm. wow, it's about how I live, not what I believe.
Right.
It's more important that I obey than that I believe in Jesus. Now, Jesus did say the will of God is to believe in the one who sent.
Right.
And if you believe, you'll be saved. Jesus said those things. Jesus says it's about belief. You have to believe. It's about faith in God. Your works cannot save you. At the same time, man, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was beating us yeah. up.
Well, wouldn't you say that maybe it's not more important, but those two things are just as important and just as weighty to walk and believe, you know, the same.
Yeah, thing. I mean, certainly you have to. You absolutely have to believe the right thing, but you also have to live as Jesus right. lived. I mean, that is huge. You have to live as Jesus lived. The way we live out and work out our salvation in our lives needs to be done in the way that Jesus taught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't go as Christians to the Old Testament. I don't look at the book of Joshua to figure out how I'm supposed to live.
Right. You look at the words of Jesus.
That's right. We don't look at Leviticus. We don't look at the laws there. Right. We don't even look at the Ten Commandments to see how we should live.
Right.
I look at Jesus Christ and I see the image of God in flesh and I say that is how we're supposed to live. We also follow the Spirit and we keep in step with the Spirit. But that's how we live as Christians. Not by the law, not by the Old Testament rules,
right.
not even by the New Testament rules.
Right. I mean, well, Jesus himself said to love each other, love God and love each other, and everything falls into place.
Yeah, the whole law is summed up in loving God and loving your neighbor,
right.
period. And that includes even the New Testament. You know, some people think, well, there were laws in the Old Testament, those are irrelevant, now we obey the laws in the New Testament. No, the law, the words and the commands of the New Testament are certainly things we obey because we obey the words of God, yes. but it's not a law that we follow, that we're stricken under.
Yeah, the intent of the entire Bible is for us to love God and to love each other, period. And,
right, the intent of the entire Bible is to point at Jesus, mm-hmm. who taught us to love God and love each other.
There you go.
Okay, it's to point towards Jesus, whom we want a relationship with, who we want to know. Okay, that was orthopraxy. Now, the second thing that I was missing was that doctrinal texts are good and helpful to the Christian life, but only if we understand that they're descriptive of or leading us to Jesus.
Right.
All right, now we're going to hit more of this on the other side of the break. But the whole point of the Old Testament, of the rest of the New Testament, the Gospels, everything, isn't just to tell us how to live. It's to point to Jesus, that we know Jesus.
Right. Well, Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father but through me.
Right. And when we want to interpret the Old Testament, when we want to interpret the rest of the New Testament, if we don't understand it, we start with Jesus. He's the point. And so we're going to get back to that. We're also going to do Bible contradiction and listener question on the other side of this break.
I believe when I see it.
You believe it when you see it. So my smart aleck co-host and I will be back on the other side of the break. In the meantime, get over to truthrevolution.tv and check out some truth shots. You can donate if you'd like. You can ask some questions. You can send a text or an email to questions@truthrevolution.tv. You can harass us online by posting on the forum there at truthrevolution.tv. And yeah, just get on over there and check it out. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. We've been growing and now we're going to two services.
Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 11:15 a.m. Check us out at salinarevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Well, most people here hadn't been for a long, long time, if ever, so don't worry, you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11:15 a.m.
salinarevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Jeff, you've argued for morality as an absolute value. Does this mean biblical views of right and wrong should be given to society as a whole?
First, other than a belief in absolute truth and morals, I wouldn't suggest that all society follow the biblical rules. For instance, I think it's the most important thing in the world to train a child to worship God, but I can't place that expectation on others by law.
An important note would be that morality seems to be embedded inside of us apart from many scriptures.
Yes, we all have a sense of absolute morality.
But some of those standards are worth imposing on all people and some cannot be.
Exactly. Worshiping Jesus? Not everyone should be forced to do that.
At the same time, if something is clearly wrong,
such as beating someone up or stealing, society should make laws to punish those who do wrong.
So laws should be based on clear absolute morality and not community preference or biblical rules.
Otherwise, law becomes capricious or overbearing or both.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
We're back. Christocentric hermeneutic. What does that mean, Dave?
That is basically the way we interpret the Bible, the way we read it through the Christ-centered lens.
Yes. Now, we spent way too much time on one little piece of it half of the radio show. So now we're going to have to do like two-thirds of it in a shorter amount of time, because we're also going to do Bible contradiction and listener question, hopefully. Hopefully.
Don't say hopefully. Doing it.
So, I guess we already did a Bible contradiction today, so we're under no obligation by the law.
That's true. Okay. All right.
The law does not obligate me to do a Bible contradiction. Okay, anyway. So, I didn't understand, first of all, the reasons that I didn't do Christocentric hermeneutics was because I didn't understand the importance of orthopraxy and living as Christ lived. Second, doctrinal texts are good and they're helpful to the Christian life, but only if we understand that they're descriptive of, or that they're leading us to Jesus. So when you study the Bible, when you view the Bible and try to figure out what it means, are you understanding that that word on that page is doing more than telling you something about how to live or what history was? It's trying to lead you to Jesus.
Right.
Often, go ahead.
Well, here's the thing that, the book of John tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God.
Yeah.
And so I have always viewed the words from that particular scripture, I have viewed the entire Bible as being the words of Christ.
Yeah, they are of, absolutely. Yeah. Often we view the Bible in three pieces, Old Testament, the Gospels about Jesus, and then the rest of the New Testament, giving us theological truths and practical application. But that's not what the authors intended. Remember, I cracked acronym.
Right.
A, author's intention. We should see the New Testament books after the Gospels as commentaries on Jesus' life, explaining the things that we might have not gotten had someone not explained it to us, rather than separate or different, deeper truths. I mean, they certainly contain some additional information, but nothing that would be contradictory to the life of our Lord Jesus. Similar, I mean, you even think about Paul. Okay, Paul says, be subject to your governing authorities.
Right.
Wow, like that's something, and you would think, well, Jesus, he didn't spend a lot of time teaching about that like Paul did. Well, you know, he did. He made himself subject to the governing authorities.
Even to death.
Yeah, and so, you know, I mean, you see things like that all over if you're looking for it. Christ taught these things. The rest of the words of Scripture are subject to what Jesus was doing, what Jesus intended. Similarly, the Old Testament wasn't merely before Jesus, but it pointed to, anticipated Jesus. The fullest revelation is in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we should look at how Jesus lived and taught first. Only then can we understand the further theological training elsewhere in the Old and New Testaments.
Right. When I read the Old Testament, I feel like I am reading history hurtling towards the future, which is Jesus.
Yeah, so. And I think that's the right way to view it. You know, I will sometimes compare it to a highway or a freeway, and the destination is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can stop and take some pit stops, and certainly there's scenery, there's, you know, rest stops that are important to that highway. There are directions, there's whatever, orange cones and road construction that are specifically about that piece of road.
You've been looking at my life again, haven't
you? But the whole point of that highway is to get to Jesus.
Right.
And if you miss that, you're going to be missing something big.
Amen.
All right, before we run out of time, Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
So we are going to do one.
We are.
All right. Bible contradiction today is brought to you by the fine people over at thethinkingatheist.com.
Thank you, my thinking friends.
Well, they purport to think. They say they think anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But who killed Saul? We want to know. And we're talking about King Saul, not King Saul that actually eventually turned into Paul.
Not the Apostle Paul.
No. All right. 1 Samuel 31:4 said that Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and run me through, or these uncircumcised fellows will come and run me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer was terrified and would not do it, and Saul had took his own sword, and he fell on it.
Okay.
So Saul committed suicide.
Okay, yeah.
2 Samuel 1:8-10, he asks me, who are you? An Amalekite, I answered. Then he said to me, stand by here and kill me. I am in the throes of death, but I'm still alive. So I stood beside him and killed him because I knew that after he had fallen, he could not survive.
Okay.
So I said, the Amalekite killed him.
Good.
What happened?
Dave, you answer this one. Tell us what happened.
All right. Well, here's the thing. And it's funny because now that whenever I see a Bible contradiction, I immediately start thinking cracked.
Yeah.
Acronym, you know?
Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, you have to give the author some credit here because it says in 2 Samuel, I stood beside him and killed him because I knew that after he had fallen, he could not survive. Fallen what? Fallen on his sword, maybe?
Oh, snap!
So maybe he didn't do the great job. His armor bearer saw that he fell on his own sword, and then he probably ran away.
So you're using the letter C for credibility.
Yes.
Like, read this carefully and think. These people aren't that stupid who recorded this history. You know, the other thing I might even... Thank you. That's
perfect. If I can solve a Bible contradiction, so can you. I'm here to tell you.
Yes, that's true. Okay, but, you know, even aside from your answer, which I think is perfectly legitimate and absolutely good.
Well, thank you.
The Bible here is just recording some quote from a guy.
Right.
The Bible recorded, first of all, that Saul committed suicide. Okay, it recorded that as a fact. Second, it recorded that this guy claimed to have killed Saul.
Right.
So that guy might not be he might not have told the truth, and the Bible's recording the lie. That's a possibility too.
He may have stumbled upon Saul's body and then took his crown, which because it says goes on 2 Samuel to say, so I took his crown and yada yada, here I am today. So they may say, hey, where'd you get that? Well, here's what happened.
Exactly. I mean, people lie, and the Bible records the lie just to tell you what was going on in history. So anyway, Dave's answer is better, but I just want to bring that
up.
Thank you. That was the answer for Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
All right.
Yes. Okay, so back to the Christocentric piece. The focus on biblical texts, other than the life of Jesus, is problematic today, I think. But it was especially true centuries ago. There's a book called The Naked Anabaptist by Stuart Murray. And he says, early Anabaptists were scandalized by the way Jesus was being marginalized in systems of biblical interpretation that seemed to privilege other parts of Scripture over what Jesus said and did. Mm. And I like that they were scandalized by it, because what was happening in history, and I think sometimes today, is that people look at the Old Testament or the New Testament, especially as ways to get involved in the government and force our country to become a religious country in a way that Israel was a religious country.
Right.
But we are not set up to be a theocracy, and we can't use the Bible to try to create a theocracy. But when you look at the life of Jesus, he says things like, my kingdom is not of this world.
Right.
And that's a problem. To set up a theocracy, you have to ignore Jesus. And I think what happened is you get people in the Reformations who were responding to the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church is basically the government. Mm-hmm. You get people in the Reformations responding to that, and they want to set up their own government. And so you have people stripping away the words of Jesus as being important and setting up other things and saying, look, the nation of Israel did this. We look at the Old Testament for proof of how you should set up a government. We look at the New Testament for principles on what our government should be like. And I don't think this is what was intended.
Right. It's kind of like going back and forth between mom and dad. Dad says, go ask your mom. And your mom says, well, go ask your dad. And you know, well, mom said, yeah. You know?
What?
So, well, you know, it's like when I was a kid, I'll be honest, I'd play my parents against each other.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so right. If I got the wrong answer from one, I'd get the right answer from the other.
Oh, so you're saying if you don't like what Jesus says, just go to the Old Testament.
There you go. Sorry. Right. Didn't make myself totally clear there.
Okay, no, I got it now. And instead of, and what they should be doing is saying, hey, this is how things were in the Old Testament, but how did that point to Jesus?
Right.
You see, it wasn't just that God set up Israel as a nation and, oh man, that didn't work out. Too bad, so sad. Let's try sending Jesus.
Right.
No, the whole nation of Israel, the point of them existing was to point to Christ coming, Jesus even tells Abraham, you're going to have these descendants and they are even going to lead to a Messiah who will save the Gentiles. I mean, this is crystal clear. Even way back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, God says he's going to send someone to crush the head of the snake, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and there's so many different types and shadows in the Old Testament pointing towards Christ.
Exactly, the types and shadows. Exactly. We're not getting in today to all the theology about, you know, what did Israel represent? How do they point to Christ? But when you study the Scripture the right way, you ask those types of questions. Well, why did God use a nation? Why did God do things that way? Why did he set up laws? Why did he allow them to go to war? How in the world could that have pointed to a pacifist Jesus Christ?
And those are a lot of questions. You know what I'm saying?
Which is why we're not going to get into it in the next 3 minutes before the radio show's over.
We can answer those over the next 6 months.
But to properly understand Scripture, we have to see Jesus as the pinnacle of both Old and New Testaments.
Amen.
All Scripture pointing towards his life, death, and resurrection as the way of life and belief for us. If we don't see Jesus as the zenith of Scripture, we will most certainly pick and choose specific parts of the Bible to focus on rather than understanding it as a whole. See, when I wasn't focusing on Christ as a center point of Scripture, I often believed that the Christocentric view of Scripture was prioritizing one part. I thought, well, hey, you guys prioritize the Gospels, but I respect all Scripture equally. But that actually, I was downgrading Jesus without realizing it.
Right.
I thought I was treating all Scripture equally, but what I was doing was I was taking the clearest example of God in flesh, the whole point of Scripture, and I was saying, you know, I'm going to treat that the same as Leviticus. But Leviticus was pointing to Jesus. You know, I mean, if I treated the television cameras the same as I treated the TV star, that would be weird, right?
It would be.
If I was like, oh my gosh!
It's a TV camera.
David Bowie's here and so is a Panasonic. I love it! You know, they'd be like, dude,
you're
why
so
are you,
weird.
What is wrong with you, you know?
He's like that all the time anyway.
The point of the camera is to show you the star.
Right.
And the point of Leviticus was to point to the star, Jesus Christ.
That was an awesome analogy.
Yeah, I just came up with that one right now. Blew my mind. Man, I have so many good quotes. You know,
too bad we're out of time.
We're going to do a little extra online. Is that okay?
That's fine with me.
We're just going to do a little bit extra online. Not a whole lot.
So you want to get over to truthrevolution.tv right after the show.
Yes, right after the show. Truthrevolution.tv. We're going to talk a little bit more about this. I have some cool quotes and some more explanations about the Christocentric view. We're also going to do a listener question.
Yes.
And so get on over, truthrevolution.tv.
See you next week.
Truth Revolution.
We're back. Okay. We're online.
I'm assuming you listened online, and so we're just going to jump and continue from where we were. All right. So when I wasn't focusing on Jesus as a center point, like I thought I was
right,
treating it all the same, but I really was missing the right. I was missing the point. I was treating Jesus, the star, the same as I was treating the video camera that looks at the star.
Right. You
know, I was treating Leviticus and like, wow, Leviticus is the words of God in the same way as Jesus was, and I believe it's the words of God, just like I believe a TV camera is part of the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But it's utilitarian. The point of the camera is to show me what's important, and the point of Leviticus is to show me what's important, Jesus Christ. It's supposed to lead me down that path.
Right. The words of God are, I mean, they point to God, you know, so when you're reading...
Jesus, God.
When you're reading those... Just like we were talking about earlier, you think of it as a highway or as a, mm-hmm. as history hurtling towards the future, which is and always will be Jesus.
Right.
You know, so, right. And what's most important? Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuart Murray, again, in Naked Anabaptist, he said, any Bible study that does not lead to more faithful and creative discipleship is inadequate. And the unfortunate reality is that in favoring doctrinal text over the life of Jesus... well, that kind of causes us to become theological Christians first and Jesus-like second.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah, because when we study the Bible, and here's another quote, it must be viewed through the prism of the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. The whole goal is to know Jesus and be like Jesus. That it's not just to know a few propositions that are true or false.
Right. Well, we could talk about being like Jesus all day long. We could talk about this is the way we should live, but if we never actually live it, then what's the point?
Yeah. You know? Here's a quote from the Anabaptist story by William Estep. He says, for the Swiss and South German Anabaptists, the final authority for Christian life and the faith and the order of the church was the New Testament, in particular, the life and teachings of Christ. While they tended to interpret the scripture in a literal sense, they were Christocentric. It was Christ who, in the actual formulation of the faith, became the ultimate authority to which they appealed. Although they did not reject Old Testament in a Marcionite fashion, it was never allowed to take precedence over the New Testament or to become normative for the Christian faith. Theirs was a New Testament hermeneutic that assumed a progression in the biblical revelation that culminated in the Christ event. Therefore, the Old Testament, although useful and often quoted, could never stand alone, unqualified by the New Testament.
Wow.
And here's what's interesting. So many Christians will agree, well, yes, there is progressive revelation, and we understand things like the Trinity and lots of things better, Jesus, in the New Testament. But then they sometimes take the Old Testament stand alone.
Right.
But you can't do that. You can't say progressive revelation, it all leads up to Jesus Christ, and then take something from the Old Testament or the New Testament alone apart from Jesus Christ. We can't do that. I mean, we can certainly learn some lessons. I preached the book of Joshua and
right.
certainly learned a lot of lessons there where it wasn't necessarily just about Jesus. We don't want to become the type of Christians who every single line has to point back to Jesus somehow, because there are markers along the highway that lead right. to Jesus. But the whole point is that the cumulative case points towards Jesus.
Right, and there's a whole bunch of important history that's written in the Old Testament that we can learn from, like, mm-hmm. you know, the way Israel was, and we should not be. You know? Yeah. So,
can I give you an amen on that?
Amen, brother.
Whoa! All right. But N.T. Wright, he's not an Anabaptist like we are. I don't think he has a traditional Christocentric view, but he gets at least part of this when he says, a historically grounded understanding of Jesus' proclamation, achievement, death, and resurrection suggests that at the heart of his work lay the sense of bringing the story of Scripture to its climax and thereby offering God the obedience through which the kingdom would be accomplished. As he himself declared, the time is fulfilled, God's kingdom is at hand.
Wow.
I mean, you think about Jesus saying stuff like that. Jesus was here, he's like, hey guys, I'm here, so the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yes.
boom. Hello.
Right.
Like that's, he did not say, Jesus did not say, hey guys, I'm here. The kingdom of God is at hand. And pretty soon Paul's going to come and then you'll really get it.
Right.
No. He's like, all of scripture testifies to me.
Right. And that's so funny that you say that, because a lot of people, there's the arguments of, well, who's more right, Jesus or Paul? You know, have you seen those arguments before? You know,
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, let's take what Jesus says and don't put it over what Paul says, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I've seen arguments where some people say, well, Jesus said this, but Paul said this kind of in a different way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, well, let's not try and wrap the Bible around the way we live our lives. Why don't we try and wrap the way we live our lives around the Bible?
Right. Well, and the you know, when we talk about, if we see a difference between Paul and Jesus, Paul never, ever, ever, N.T. Wright goes into this quite a bit in his book, Scripture and Authority of God. Paul never saw himself as different than Christ. Right. He never saw himself as teaching something that Christ would not have taught. And so Paul is simply trying to teach us who Christ is, right, and what are the implications of Christ having come, lived, died, and rose from the dead. There are implications to this, and he's trying to explain what those implications are. So if we think that Paul has said something that doesn't line up with what Jesus said, we have misinterpreted Paul, or we've misinterpreted Jesus.
Right. Well, the whole thing is, too, and I totally agree with you, because experiencing what Paul experienced on the road to Damascus, there is no way that he would experience that and then say, well, what I have to say is above Jesus.
Right.
You know, that was such an experience from God.
Oh, sure. I mean, you think about the time when Paul and Barnabas went and did some miracles in a city, and those people were about ready to worship mm-hmm. them. And they said, no, not us. We are mere men like you. They said, you worship God. You worship right. Jesus. Right. Paul was just a dude.
Humans are so silly, because that happens throughout even the Old Testament with the angels. Yeah. I'm going to fall down and worship you. And the angels are like, whoa, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's important for us to remember that Jesus came before any physical book of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible is our guide to know Jesus.
Amen. What is it? It's our Jesus for Dummies book.
Right. It is what reveals Jesus to us. Right. We saw him dimly in the Old Testament. We see him absolutely clearly and shining in the Gospels. And then it goes on in the rest of the New Testament to explain the implications of what happened in the Gospels. Mm-hmm. But it's pointing back at Jesus. It's kind of like if you were going to put it in sports terms, you've got a lot of pregame hype before the Super Bowl, don't you?
Can we get off the Super Bowl, please?
Just because your team lost, you don't want to use the analogy for Jesus?
Yeah, well, you know what? Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it for God.
Right.
All right. See, I mean, the week before the Super Bowl?
Yeah, somebody asked me, hey, when does, because it was like in the middle of Super Bowl week, and they're like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday. When does pregame start? I'm like, last Thursday?
Yes, exactly. You know? Like, it's huge. I mean, it's huge coming up to the Super mm-hmm. Bowl, in the same way that the Old Testament is huge. There's so much to talk about and cover before Jesus Christ comes. And now, when the game was there, the game was the whole point.
Right.
But there was lots of side notes, lots of interesting stories in that week and a half before right. the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And likewise, the Super Bowl happened, and then afterwards, there were a lot of replays. There was a lot of analyses.
Yes, there was over analysis.
There was over analysis.
Yes,
yeah.
Because Peyton Manning threw the ball game right.
Oh, yes.
For a large sum
of
money.
I heard about that. Right, it's just crazy. Anyway, so likewise, the New Testament comes, and it's the post game show. It's the analysis. Mm-hmm. What just happened?
Right.
What does this mean? How does this work out? How is this going to play out in our lives?
Right. And you begin to understand what exactly happened in the game by listening to some of the players talk about,
yes,
this is what we did.
Exactly. And the New Testament has to be there, the rest of the New Testament outside of the Gospels has to be there, because what Jesus did was so drastically different than what people expected.
Right.
Someone had to explain what just happened.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of people sitting in the stands doing double takes. What just happened?
Well, just like in the Super Bowl, yeah, that was
totally unexpected.
Totally unexpected. I mean, the Broncos lost so badly, no one expected it.
You got to keep going on about that.
And a little bit, I do, yeah. And no one expected it. And so they had to go over this analysis. What did we just see?
Right.
How could have that happened? And so Paul is explaining it to us.
And we want to let you know, I mean, we're not equating the Super Bowl on the same level as Jesus. It's just a tool to help us understand it. All right. I don't want anybody to misunderstand what we're saying here.
Nobody thought we were putting the Super Bowl in the same level.
I'm just putting it out there, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just putting it out there.
No, that's good.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, I want to thank you guys for listening to Truth Revolution. The Christocentric View. What do you guys think? Send us a text message. Send us an email.
Right. Are we wrong? Are we wrong?
Questions at truthrevolution.tv.
Are we right?
Yeah. We're just engaging in this discussion with you. Mm-hmm. I didn't see scripture this way years ago. I do now, but I'd love to have your thoughts on it still. Love to engage with you guys.
Coming out to Revolution Church, man.
9 or 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. So next Sunday, get your buns out of bed. Come on over. Oh, no, 9 and 11, 15.
Yes, if they're here at 11, they will hit 11:15.
That's
true. Just the way time works, Jeff.
You'll just have time to have some cappuccino, some frappuccino, some rappuccino. Uh-huh.
Only when Cash is here.
Rappuccino is when Cash Hollis is here. But dude, get over to the website, truthrevolution.tv. Actually, you're here right now, so continue to explore. Listen to some of the truth shots, 60 Seconds of Truth.
Yep.
Click on Ask Questions, send us a message, and we'd love to hear from you. Thanks, guys. Have a great week, and God bless.
Amen.